We are doing gloves off this morning. You know, if you watch rugby like yesterday, you want to do this. You wanna hit somebody. I was like, yesterday afternoon, I was thinking, what can we do? You know, I'm thinking this next game at Ellis Park is going to be just the whole of South Africa. All the rugby-loving South Africa is going to be so psyched up for this next one. Those who don't know, the referee stuffed it, spoiled the biggest game of the year. But we're going to get over it. We're going to forgive him. For those who are battling to forgive them, join the Other Bait of Satan life group. It's all about forgiveness. You know, gloves off. Okay. What does it mean, gloves off? It means to increase the intensity of the fight. To stop being calm or civil and show an intention of winning a dispute by any means. That's how I feel after yesterday's game. You know, it's like whatever it takes, you want to win. I was saying, telling myself yesterday again, I don't like losing. Anybody that likes losing, it's not nice. Well done to the Bulldogs. They did well as well. Are there any of them here this morning? I don't know, but they went big, praise God. Okay, they won, the Bulldogs. That's the rugby team on border rugby team, for those who do not know. They won, praise God. Okay, but gloves off, it's like as if boxers had removed their gloves in order to inflict more damage by any means. Speaks of an intensity, a focus, a determination. And that's how I often feel about the kingdom of evil. Let's inflict damage on the kingdom of darkness. These represent evil. Now, I selected balloons because anything tougher than this might hurt me. So I went for the easy ones. But these represent darkness, okay? Represent evil. And now Chuck Norris is a great example. Now, he's actually a Christian, for those who don't know. And the man takes no nonsense. And so he instills fear into his enemies. And we must learn from him. He instills fear into his enemies. Chuck Norris has a grizzly bear carpet in his room. The bear isn't dead. It is just afraid to move. You see, now that's how it should be. Gloves off, man. Come on. Intensity, terror into our enemies. Death once had a near Chuck Norris experience. And because of that, actually, for those who don't know, Chuck Norris died 20 years ago, yet death hasn't built up the courage to tell him yet. When the boogeyman goes to sleep every night, he checks his closet for Chuck Norris. So he instills fear into his enemies. Chuck Norris doesn't mess around. You know, he doesn't turn the aircon on when it gets hot. He turns the sun down. You see, now I like that. It's going right to the root. No messing around. Eh? But we little people, we got aircon. Eh? But we should go to the root. Now you don't mess. Now because of Chuck Norris, you don't mess with God. He's a Christian, so if you negative about God, you're in trouble. Okay, especially if you say things like "Even God can't sink this ship." You see, Chuck Norris is the reason the Titanic sank. The iceberg was just the cover up. For him, the impossible comes naturally. He makes things happen. Chuck Norris can slam a revolving door. Chuck Norris can light a fire by rubbing two ice cubes together. Chuck Norris counted to infinity twice. There is no theory of evolution. I do agree. Just a list of animals Chuck Norris allows to live. Chuck Norris destroyed the periodic table. Because Chuck Norris only recognizes the element of surprise. Okay, thanks, Chuck. Okay, so we're learning from Chuck Norris this morning. We can learn so much from this man, you know. If we want to make a huge impact on this world, we must do as he does. We should just go for it. We should also instill fear in our enemies. We shouldn't mess around. We should go to the root of the problem, and we should use the element of surprise. Hallelujah. There's just one problem. We're not Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris isn't even Chuck Norris. Do you realize it? You're a sheep. Say it, I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. You know, this offends you. You know? Now you go to the scriptures, you want to be awesome. You want to be Chuck Norris, you know, who needs no one. Chuck Norris doesn't read a book. He just stares at the pages until the information comes to him. You know, he is awesome. But you and I, we are sheep. That's depressing. Read the book of Psalms. There's sheep all over the place. God calls us sheep. Have you seen a sheep run? You know, are these knuckles like, it's like silly, man. Have you ever heard of a rugby team whose mascot is the sheep? The Northern Transvaal sheep. We're gonna wool you to death. I mean, no. It's the bulls. It's the bulldogs. It's the stormers, the cheetahs. The sharks. What are we? Sheep. That's depressing. It's like, you know, if you read the scriptures, like, no, God, I don't want to be a sheep, man. I want to be a lion. I want to do lion. Now you read, and you come to the lion scripture. Then it says, the devil walks about like a roaring lion. No, this is wrong. The devil gets the good stuff, and we are sheep. The only animal that is more chicken than the chicken is the sheep. But some of us think we're Chuck Norris, and we're not. And that's a challenge. You know, sheep are stupid. They get lost easily. One runs off the cliff, the other 11 follows. Sheep are stupid. They easily get lost. Eh? But we're not stupid, are we? People don't do stupid stuff, don't we? Mm-mm. No. We only do bright stuff. What am I trying to say? I am not Chuck Norris. Neither are you. Chuck Norris isn't even Chuck Norris. We are sheep. Miserable, little, weak, sometimes stupid sheep. It's depressing. But God has a plan. He has a plan, and that's where Chuck Norris comes in. I'm going to reveal to you 3 punches and a roundhouse kick. To turn a sheep into a super sheep. Okay. To turn you into a super sheep. Who wants to be a super sheep? Okay. Good. Okay. So 2 Corinthians 10. Just getting. Well, I posted this sort of on Facebook. It says we are human. Well, actually sheep. But we don't wage war as sheep do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. So we use God's mighty weapons. Mighty weapons. So that sheep can become super sheep. Super sheep. Okay. So I want to give you, if you would make a movie about this, you would call it The Rise of the Super Sheep. Heard of The Rise of the Planet of the Apes? No, well, this is The Rise of the Super Sheep. Okay. The first one I want to share with you. First, a tip for you. Who plays Scrabble? Any Scrabble players? Okay, great. This is for you. If you spell Chuck Norris in Scrabble, you win forever. Okay, so go try that. Okay, so the first tip I want to give you, or the first becoming a super sheep, is the power of the word. Okay, the power of the word. Now, whose word? A while ago, my wife and I were speaking about Vian's brushing his teeth. It's a mission. You have to do it so often, and it's such a mission with a little child that doesn't want to sit still. So I told her, I don't know why we're doing it. He's getting new teeth soon. I mean, really. And then my wife says, no, it's very important. And I'm asking, why? Tell me why. Why is it important? So we had a dentist or two over for dinner. So I asked him, tell me, why should I brush my son's teeth if he's getting new ones soon? And he explained to me. The expert explained it to me, and then it made sense. You see, you have your baby teeth hold space for your following teeth. So if your baby teeth has to be pulled early, then your teeth goes all skew. I don't want my son to have skewed teeth. So now we brush his teeth. Okay. But the expert told me, and I have respect for the expert, you know, who's supposed to know something. And so it is the same for us. You know, who should you listen to? The Word of God. The Word of God, He knows how it works. And so God gave a game plan in Acts chapter 2. He gave a game plan for the early church. It was just after the birth of the church. The Holy Spirit was poured out. And we see a sort of a game plan that God gives. The Word of God gives us a game plan to turn ordinary sheep into super sheep. Okay, so we can make spiritual impact. Okay, let's read it. And from this, I'm going to take four things. Three punches and a roundhouse kick. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word, say that, received his word, received his word, were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I'm just going to highlight four things from that passage. Three punches and a roundhouse kick. But they turned the city around. The ordinary sheep became super sheep and turned the city around. The four things are basically, it says that they continued steadfastly in what? To sum it up, they did life together, but it was about the word of God, prayer and praise. They had favor with all the people and they were together. I'm going to take them one by one quickly. Hebrews 4 verse 12. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. There's something about the word of God. It is alive. It is life. If you want to sum everything up, I'm going to say this morning, it's basically this. They did life together. That's what the early church did. They did life together. So I'm looking at life now. The word of God is alive. It affects us. Sheep tend to fall off cliffs. But the word of God gives us direction and cause us to come alive on the inside. Bottom line is the Word of God gives us faith. Gives us faith so we can connect with Almighty God. Okay, so that's the first one. It fills us with faith, and with faith, all things are possible. Do you have faith in your heart? Is your mind full of faith? You can often check the amount of the Word of God being in your heart, in your mind. That will affect your level of faith, your level of faith. And so the first punch is the Word of God. Okay, you see that? Then the second one is prayer and praise. Then the third one is favor. And then we're going to do a roundhouse kick later for you. Come back here. Okay, come on. Turning a sheep into a super sheep. Are you getting into the Word of God daily? Is it filling your heart and mind? I tell you, when I get into the Word and the Spirit of God's breathing upon it, it affects my being. It helps me to connect with God. So the second one is, if you read that Acts chapter 2, it speaks about prayer and praise. So the first one, the Word of God gives us faith. The second part, prayer and praise, takes us into God's presence. Takes us into God's presence. The first one gives us faith. Secondly, gives us the ability to move into the presence of God. Did you know that Chuck Norris doesn't call the wrong number? You answer the wrong phone. That's silly. Yeah. The amazing thing is when we pray and when we praise God, we step into His presence and we become clothed with Him. Do you step into God's presence daily? Do you daily step into His presence? Or are you an ordinary sheep? Are you super sheep? Or are you ordinary sheep? Then punch number three. Favor. It says they had favor with all. Favor with all. You see, the early church didn't seclude themselves. They didn't do cocooning. They weren't doing their own thing alone in a corner. It says they had favor with those outside of the church. So the third punch, this is like a combo punch for spiritual impact. Get the Word of God into your life. Prayer and praise. And then connect with those far from God. Do you do that? Are we giving people an opportunity to experience the love of God? Those who are far from God, do we give them an opportunity? Just a quick practical one. Who's got a hobby? Any type of hobby? Okay. Now, instead of doing your hobby, you yourself and your best Christian friend, do your hobby with those far from God. Go jog, but jog with those who do not know the Lord. Go play squash, do fishing, arts, dancing, music, social. Do something that you love to do that doesn't take effort or energy, but you do it with those who are not close to God. What does it help that you were a super sheep, but nobody can experience your super sheepiness? What's the point then? What's the point if we keep it to our, if we keep the awesomeness of God to ourselves, if we are clothed with Him, if our hearts and minds are full of His Word and His life? What does it benefit the world if we don't spend time with Him? So another punch you can do in terms of this is to get involved somewhere in the community, to get involved at your kid's school, to just go somewhere where you can interact with those far from God. Okay, so I'm giving you combo punches for how you can do this. Okay, so that's the third one, favor. You see, we get favor when we love people and we serve them and we connect with them. And then the roundhouse kick. Now, Chuck Norris is famous for his roundhouse kicks. You see, when he does a roundhouse kick, he sort of just fixes anything or sorts anything out. And so Chuck Norris once kicked a horse in the chin. Its descendants are now known as giraffes. Power of the roundhouse kick. Chuck Norris once roundhouse kicked the earth. It hasn't stopped spinning. And just for extra fun, what's the difference between Chuck Norris and a bear? Chuck Norris has more chest hair. A real man. Okay, but I want to get to to this one. The roundhouse kick. You can do the word and get the word of God in you, yes. You can pray and you can praise God, yes. And you can have favor with people in the world. But if you want to have a multiplied impact, you need to do a roundhouse kick. Okay, you need to kick it, because then things happen. Things begin to happen. Okay, now this is what I want to get to. You need to get life. But multiplied impact is life together. Multiplied impact is life together. Look at this. I'm going to read this verse again. Acts 2 verse 40. But just highlighting. Look at this. This is phenomenal. It says, and that day, about 3,000 souls were what? Added to them. And it says, and they, say they, continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine, or the leaders' teaching. And fellowship, they were together in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now it says, now all, say all, who believed were together, say were together. All who believed were together, had all things in common, and they gave as anyone had need. In other words, their hearts were for one another. They loved one another. They sold all their stuff to bless their brothers and sisters in Christ. So it says, so continuing daily with what? One accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Them, they all were together, one accord, and God moved powerfully. You see, if you're Chuck Norris, you don't need anyone. You can do your own thing. You can storm off and just stare them down or whatever because you're Mr. Norris. But if you are a sheep, which we are, we're not designed to walk alone. We're sheep. Yet when sheep do life together, then we become super sheep. Truly multiplied impact. We will find that when we dwell together in unity, that we will find our God dwelling in our midst. I think that's why the church is on its back foot in Western society, because we're not doing life together. We're doing life as individuals. We're doing me, myself, and I, instead of doing life together. You know, if a church is united, if a group of people are in one accord, and I tell you, Chuck Norris, Sir Moses. God Almighty will dwell in our midst. The one who just spoke and he created the stars of the universe. The one who breathed life into us will dwell amongst us. I would have loved to be a super sheep like Chuck Norris. I would love to be like Chuck Norris, you know. Anointed, powerful men of God. Don't need anybody. But what I've actually found over the last few years, for me and my wife, I really need support. We need the friends around us. We need the fellowship. We need the encouragement. We need people's prayers. So do you. So do you. And so often we just walk this road alone. I'm not Chuck Norris, so I need the friendship. You need the friendship. God made you and me to be like a doing life together. So I want to give you a game plan. Challenge you to do a game plan for your life. to do life together. And so that verse says they were in the temple. They gathered in the temple. That's like Sunday celebrations. The big gatherings, they were there. From house to house, it says they also got together from house to house. Small gatherings. That would be like life groups. You know, you fellowship, get into one another's lives. Then it says, and they were added to the church. Look at this, Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You see, I'm in a funny place. You know, I've always been radically following since I've become to Christ. I say, God, everywhere, anywhere, whenever, I'll go. Now I'm in a place like, God, I love these people too much. I don't want to go ever, anywhere. I've made such amazing friends. I so love the fellowship. I so love the people in this church. It's a challenging space to be. I don't want to go. I'm not going anywhere. But I was just realizing, I'm like, this is adding so much value to me. For me, this church, for us, the friends we've made. We are so rich. We've never had such amazing people in our lives as we do. And it's amazing. We have these WhatsApp groups, some of the leaders, and you know, and then they'll send out a message. Oh, they had a dream about us, and they're praying for us, or they, you know, they're supporting us. Or Sonic and I send out an email or a WhatsApp and say, guys, please pray for this or for that. It's amazing. It's amazing. Doing life together. It is truly phenomenal. But it says in that verse, consider one another in order to what? To stir up love. To help one another to love well. That's what we do. To encourage one another to love well. And to do good works. Encourage one another to connect with those outside. Then it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the Apostle Paul probably wrote Hebrews, but he's saying here, as the end days are approaching, so much more, guys, stick together. As sheep alone, you're dead. As sheep out there in the wilderness, you're in trouble. Me, without my friends and people and my wife and supporting, I'm in trouble. And so it says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You will miss out. I honestly believe a Christian isn't a true Christian if he isn't in community. I'm not saying he's not going to heaven. I'm just saying you're missing out if you're not planted in community. Together, life together, that's what God wants. Otherwise, you are a shadow of the person you are supposed to be. You won't be a super sheep, you will be a silly sheep. Who wants to be a silly sheep? I don't want to be a silly sheep. Missing out, outside of God's will. And the worst that could happen is, yes, you could actually lose your way eternally. Because we need one another. The believers in the book of Acts, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the word of God. They continued steadfastly in prayer and in praise. They continued steadfastly in fellowship with one another. And so many of you are already. So I'm preaching to the converted. Well done. Give you a pat on the back. Say, I am not a silly sheep. I am a super sheep. Okay. Super, super sheep. But there's such power in the word of God together. Together, you can get depth. You can get depth. As we're going to do now with the life groups, we're going to go deeper into topics. We're really trusting you'll be planted in the Word of God with daily readings as well. If you want to, you can actually read deeper and grow the Word together. Then praise and prayer together. It's amazing. Jesus says, where two are gathered in my name, two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Jesus is saying, together, there is power in together. Where two agree in my name, That I will do. Jesus is saying, when we do life together, more than physical together, but hearts connected together and praying together, then life comes. Then Jesus said, I will do it. Worship together in a group context. You know, worship, when we worship together, we become like a warship. It shifts the spiritual realm when we are together. It shifts. So, okay, quick recap. We have punch one, which is the Word of God. Yes. Then we have punch two, prayer and praise. And then we have favor connecting outside. And then we have the roundhouse kick. Come on. Come on. I'll leave the red ones. Leaving the red ones for my son. If I can get this off my foot. Yes. And I am free from evil. Okay. Why am I doing this? Because I want to make a point. Do you want to be an ordinary sheep or you want to be a super sheep? Come on, super sheep. Da, 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 da. Huh? You're still going to look silly, but you're going to be flying. Come on. You're going to be flying. There is such power in together. Wherever you might find yourself in your heart, I know there's so many negative things about church, but I promise you, if you're negative about church, you just haven't tasted real church. Because real church is beautiful. Real fellowship is life-changing. I've never been so blessed in my life with the quality of people around me and Sonica. You can have the same. But you must make a decision. You must make a decision to say, I want to be a super sheep together. I want to be planted. I want to be part of a community that's beautiful. And that's taking it up to the next level. We're going to have communion now. So the ushers can please send us communion. If you're visiting us, we don't do Chuck Norris grappies every week. Fortunately. When we stand together, then we win together. When we do life together, then the ordinary sheep becomes a super sheep in community. So I want to challenge us to make a value commitment in terms of for your life. To say, God, this is how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do life, meaning I'm going to get into your word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to praise. I'm going to connect with those far from you. But God, I'm going to do it together in community at all cost. Because that's what your word says. That is the will of God. And I'm a sheep. You know, make a value commitment. I often, over the years, I see when people distance themselves. I see the trends. I see it when even you can be sitting here, but in your heart, you can have distance. And that's also trouble. So you can be physically somewhere, but emotionally in your heart, you can be not here. That's dangerous. Because life is together. Life is where we love one another. Life is where we encourage one another. Life is where we love well. And to make that commitment in your heart to say, God, I'm gonna stick. I'm going to stay. I'm going to be planted in community. Wherever you lead me. It's in another church, that's fine. But to say, I'm going to live in community because it's the will of God. So if you want to do it, look at it another way, another game plan. It would be, I make a value commitment that if you're the leader of the family, the husband says, honey, we're going to church. It's Sunday. That's punch one. Punch two is, I'm going to go to life group. Punch three is, I'm going to connect with somebody far from the Lord. Yes. And then the roundhouse kick is, I'm going to spend time with Jesus every day. Come on. Now I'm stuck again. But in terms of, you know, if you don't have that quality time with Jesus every day, you can't live out of the overflow. Are you spending time with Jesus? Are you kicking the devil? This is good. It's an exercise. Oy. This is wonderful. Okay, I'm free. But that's gloves off. Gloves off is, I'm not taking rubbish anymore. I'm not going to mess around anymore. I make quality decisions for my life. This is how I'm going to live, because it's the will of God and the word of God. I'm going to align my life with His word. And that's the place where I become a super sheep. Let's say that. I want to be a Simba Chippy. That's a joke. I want to be a super sheep. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you knew. You said it yourself, we're sheep. We need help. We need to stand together. And we need to do life together, your life together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. And God, we pray for each of us this morning, Lord, to make quality decisions around how we will live our lives. God, I pray for each one of us to take off the gloves and to say, no more messing around. I'm going to invest my life to the full, God's way. We praise your name, Jesus. Thank you for your body that was broken. Lord, as we partake of this, unite us, knit our hearts together. Heal hearts where that's necessary in terms of our relationship with church and community. Lord, come and heal and set us free. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. Holy Father, thank you. You love the world so much that you sent your Son to die for us on the cross. Thank you for the shed blood of Jesus that washes us, cleanses us, sets us free from sin, from addictions, from the power of evil, from distractions. Lord, let your blood course through our veins. New nature. New creation, new life. Holy God, let your kingdom come in us. In Jesus' name. Just before we drink, just take a moment, pray in your own words, and just make a quality commitment to how you're going to live your life in community or outside. In relationship with others, believers or outside. And then just pray to God and just speak to Him your commitment. Ask Him to help you. Lord, we thank you for your amazing love. We thank you, God, that sin is sometimes defined as being independent from God. Lord, we pray that you would set us free from being independent, to be truly dependent upon you and your house, you and your people, the way you've designed it. Sheep stands together. Thank you, Jesus. Come and help us to find ourselves planted in your will. In Jesus' name. Let's drink together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.